Next item on the agenda is a presentation by staff concerning the process for removing and withdrawing from the Common Core State Standards. Commissioner?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. One of the things you asked us to do, I think the last board meeting so far, might have been one for that. No, it'd be January. Is what would be the legal steps for you as the State Board of Education to withdraw from the Common Core? That's one. And then the second part of that, if the state of Colorado withdraws from the Common Core, what is the impact and how would we do that? And what would that look like for districts and the process that we would go through? Now, we've outlined that in material that will be reviewed with staff today. But I also want to note there's been several bills across the street that kind of look into the same issue. If you withdraw, there's a multitude of steps in what you do if we don't have a Common Core standards. So with that, the first part of the presentation will start out with a legal analysis from Mr. Tony Hill from AG's office, and then followed by that, and you can ask questions as far as I'm concerned, after Mr. Deal's opinion, he'll stay around, and then staff is going to talk about what are the impacts, how would we do that. And then there's some district folks that are here as representatives to just talk about some of the impact that would have them at this present time. So with that, I'll turn it over to you, Mr. Dill.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Dill.
You've all received my my written legal analysis of how the state can withdraw from the Common Core. So I won't keep you too long. I'll just frame my comments by saying that really, the question at this point would be, you know, what's keeping you in the Common Core? And that's a specific statute that was passed in 2012, 227-1006, 1.5, that indicated that the state had to participate in a consortium and adopt the assessments developed by that consortium of states. And those were one of two consortia which, in the context, are both implementing the Common Core. So with that in mind, the first and cleanest way would be for the General Assembly to repeal that statute. The statute itself is silent on how the state of Colorado withdraws from one of these consortia. It does require the state to enter into an agreement to join the consortia, and the consortia agreement goes through how a state withdraws, and that would require the signatures of the chair of the State Board of Education, the commissioner of education, and the governor of the state of Colorado. So another method of withdrawal would be to have the governor, the chair of the state board, and the commissioner agree
Tony,
to withdraw.
Question?
Yes.
That's that two-thirds that doesn't count?
Excuse me?
Two-thirds doesn't count?
I'm afraid two-thirds does not count.
Okay, thank you.
For that. It should be kept in mind, however, that The statute, other statutes require the state board to adopt content standards and to adopt uniform statewide assessments that are aligned to those. So really, what you're talking about here is initiating a process that would include withdrawal from the Common Core, redoing the state standards, and then development of new assessments that would be aligned to those state standards. Finally, I just want to mention, because it's sometimes is confusing, there's no federal requirement that any state participate in the Common Core. Texas, for instance, has not adopted the Common Core. They have their own assessments, and they're perfectly fine with federal funding. However, there is a requirement on the federal level for, you know, state content standards and state assessments. So that's not, that aspect of it is not really what we're talking about here.
Another quick clarifying question. There was no requirement that the states join, but when they voted to join, then that, does that make it permanent?
No.
You know, because Texas did not vote to join the Common Core.
Oh, that's right. And
Colorado
other states have withdrawn. from this and adopted their own standards.
All right.
So,
thank you.
So that is, you know, that that is not going to be a problem.
Okay. Joe, who's next? Let's keep it brief because somebody here has to leave real quickly.
Under Tabor, all contracts entered into by Colorado are subject to annual appropriation, correct?
Generally, if they're a contract for money, I think this is an MOU, and I don't believe that that's an aspect of it, but I'd have to double check.
Well, I presume Park wants to be paid for their test.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, that particular contract is with Pearson, not the MOU joining Park.
So we could eliminate the test if we could persuade the General Assembly to remove $30 million of funding in the next fiscal year. And there's no recourse. Pearson wouldn't have any recourse because their contract is subject to annual appropriations. Is that correct?
I don't believe that if done in that manner, I think you're correct. Because there is a term in the Pearson contract like there is in any state contract making it subject to legislative appropriation.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jill.
So does that mean that if we choose not to go along with Common Core, then the legislature would not have to pay for it?
No, it's rather the opposite. If the legislature decides to nix the appropriation for the assessments, then we would be out of our contractual commitment to Pearson to pay for the assessment.
Thank you. Jill? I am moving because somebody needs to leave, and we'll have plenty of time later.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes.
So Tony just reviewed some of the legal steps and legal parameters for withdrawing from the Common Core. We were asked to also look as a staff at what are the steps then that if we were to withdraw from the Common Core, what are the steps we would take to develop our own English language arts and math standards? So we've prepared an analysis of those steps. And just to review with you, Melissa Colesman will be speaking to those. You also asked, and what are the implications? What does that look like at a district level for them? What have they done? What would they need to do differently if we were to change? So we did ask some districts to come and speak to that component of your question. As Commissioner Hammond mentioned, there are several bills that are underway that we've been asked as staff to create fiscal notes for that contemplate the state developing their own standards for English language arts and math. So the process that we're going to share, the same process that we've provided to legislators, as well as estimated costs related to that process, so that you'll see alignment between what we're sharing with you today as well as what we've been talking about with legislators who have asked the same question. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Melissa so she can briefly outline what the state-level process is, and then we can quickly get into districts and their perspective on their processes.
Melissa.
Madam Chair. Members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to come before you today. What I'll be doing is providing a brief overview of what's been provided as a handout for you. First, I'll start out with just a little bit of context for where we are in relation to standards implementation. Then I'll provide an overview of that process that the state would engage in. We will then ask our three representatives from Colorado school districts to provide information about the processes they use. To be clear, we have not asked districts to provide their perspective on the merits or the limitations of the Colorado academic standards. Instead, we've asked them to come here to tell you about the processes they go through in order to transition to and implement new standards. We have representatives from a metro school district through Connie Bauman, deputy superintendent in Littleton Public Schools, a rural school district with Kendra Anderson from Otis Public Schools, R3, and a mountain school district, Wendy Wyman from Lake County Public Schools. So I'll again go back and just very briefly review what this process would be. Again, just as a little bit of context, the standards revision process that Colorado engaged in 2008 was the first major revision to Colorado's standards, and it was initiated by CAP4K. CAP4K includes a provision that allows for regular revision of Colorado academic standards, and that process is set to occur on or before July of 2018. The process that we'll share with you today is the general process that we would use to follow the statutory requirements of CAP for K. Colorado has standards in 10 content areas, and two of those content areas contain the entirety of the Common Core, which are our reading, writing, communicating, and mathematics standards. Districts began their work to transition to the new standards in 2010, and 2013-14 was the first year of full implementation, so districts are now in their second year of full implementation of the Colorado academic standards. So now I'll give you a brief overview of the document that I've provided, which describes a process that we would be following as a state. What you'll see on page one is kind of where I'll focus most of my presentation for you right now. You'll see in text form kind of 11 general steps that we would take to develop our own standards, and you'll see a diagram which kind of outlines what that would entail. What I'll do is, instead of going through all 11 steps, I'll consolidate into three major chunks. The state process involves is engaging Coloradans from K-12 education, early childhood education, higher ed, business, as well as parents, to sit on committees that would help to develop the standards. The process would be very much influenced by the stakeholder input as part of an ongoing feedback process. Input from the state board, as well as expert input and reports that would guide their work. So the first row of the diagram will give you just a sense of kind of what would happen to produce a first draft of standards. The committees would be provided stakeholder input and some analysis from experts, reviewers who would provide a benchmarking report to tell our committees kind of a general sense of what are some major content area benchmarks in, so that we would say what do high performing states, high performing countries expect at each grade level, so that using that input they could develop their first draft of their standards. That input would be then given to the state board as a first draft. Following the first draft of the standards, we would engage the public to provide their feedback on that first draft, and we would allow the committees to use state board input and public input to produce a second draft. At that point, the analysis gets a little bit more high stakes, in that we would also engage experts in content areas to provide information about the adequacy of the standards in each content area. To look from a mathematical point of view, from a reading, writing, communicating point of view, which would then be used to inform the state board as to the quality of that initial draft of standards. From there, the committees would take your feedback as well as public feedback and that expert feedback to produce a final draft. So this is a general kind of process that's used that involves stakeholders, involves the state board, obviously, and involves national expert review. This type of process would take about 12 months. We, in terms of cost for one content area, we estimate to be about $128,000. For about two content areas, approximately $218,000. And again, this kind of gives you a sense of the process that we would follow through our next revision process in 2018.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
Can I ask this question? Do we have to proceed with the plan that, in other words, were we to do this? Is what you've just sketched out required in some place? I mean, having seen that process in other states and seen that this state, it is an expensive and time-consuming process. Do we have latitude as to what process we do engage in order to generate standards, whether it's waiting till 2018 to look at them again or looking at...
So you're talking about new standards?
Right. I mean, okay. Let's say we were to...
If we were to decide we were going to...
Right. I mean, all that you suggested, focus groups and all this, do we have latitude in... Do we have to do it that way?
Melissa?
Madam Chair? The process that we've outlined here is a general process that states follow as they develop standards. This is a general process that Colorado followed back in 2009 as we developed the Colorado Academic Standards. But your question is, yes, we have latitude in how we engage in that process.
And we could decide to do it differently that might create less expense and less time. Well, I'm just saying there's different models out there. I'm just Good. Saying we wouldn't have to spend X number of $100,000 over X months for, you know, we could generate our own process if we wanted.
If we were to move forward with this
idea. If we were to move forward.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I mean, there's no statute that says here's how you develop your standards.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Melissa.
Madam Chair. You're correct. We have latitude in terms of that standards development process. There are, however, some requirements in statute as to what that process does need to include.
Are they very long?
They're fairly long.
Okay.
But they're in 22.7.1005. In terms of the things that need to be put in place and considered, that doesn't necessarily dictate a process. But one is, you know, ensuring that the standards are comparable in scope, relevance, and rigor to the highest national and international standards that have been implemented successfully and are consistent and relevant to the achievement goals. So doing it implies some national and international benchmarking, which does require some time and some external expertise to engage in as well. We do know that the feedback that we've received from stakeholders is an appreciation for a process that does allow for a good deal of public feedback, and that occur not just in the metro area. So there would at a minimum be some expense involved in getting across the state, meeting and conducting those stakeholder sessions. That's significant feedback that we received that people appreciated in the early process and continue to desire more of.
Okay, thank you. Yes, go ahead.
Great. So that is just a general process that the state would follow. We have our representatives from three different districts to, again, talk about their processes to transition to and implement new standards. So we'll go ahead and start with Connie Bauman from Littleton Public Schools.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you, Madam Chair and board members and Commissioner Hammond, for the opportunity to speak before you today. We're very proud of the work we do in Littleton Public Schools, and I'm happy to share that with you. When CAP for K first became law, we recognized that new standards that would be developed would be the focus of our work both in general education and in special education. And we were very much at that time, we still are, involved in response to intervention. And so we also recognized and knew that the standards represented the framework or tier one, or what we call universal instruction for all students. And so we are very committed to providing excellent tier one instruction across the board for all of our students. So we knew that these new standards would be very important to our district and to our students and to our community. So the subsequent adoption by our board of the Colorado Academic Standards set us on a 5-year path of professional development where we made it explicitly clear that these standards could not be put in a notebook and on a shelf, that we knew we had to touch every teacher in our district in terms of learning about and being committed to the standards. Fortunately, we passed a mill levy increase in 2010 where our Board of Education set aside one-time dollars for standards implementation. And they also set aside dollars for full-scale implementation of new materials and resources. So to date, we have spent approximately $2.8 million to support standards implementation. And I want to emphasize that these were one-time dollars and that we do not have the capacity to return to our voters for a mill levy increase for several years. So in order to build capacity with the standards, we established teacher leader cadres to help develop the necessary professional development and curriculum writing that goes along with new standards. We also host summer institutes to help teachers develop skills and the knowledge they need to help their students be successful with the new standards and the 21st century skills that go hand in hand with those standards. We developed district expectations around the 21st century skills and are currently working on developing professional development blueprints that will outline the skills and training that each of our teachers need in their content area and grade level. We also revised our universal literacy framework to meet the expectations set forth in the new standards, to meet the rigor of the new standards. So currently, our teachers are working collaboratively to develop units, curriculum units, around the standards and to make necessary resource recommendations to our Board of Education in order to teach the standards. And with the standards implementation dollars that were set aside from our one-time mill levy money, we also set aside a pool of money for what we call gap resources, because there was no way we could afford to provide full implementation resources for 10 content areas, so we had to put those on a schedule of materials adoption. So we've also purchased gap resources. We've established Google websites to house our teachers' work and to make it available to all teachers who teach that content area or grade level in the district. And to date, we've made district purchases or full-scale purchases in K-12 science, secondary mathematics, elementary and middle school social studies, and we've purchased technology to support music and art and their work with standards. We also have an elementary mathematics recommendation that will go to our Board of Education in March for full implementation in the fall. And as part of our five-year professional development plan, we worked extensively with parents, parent groups, and community members to explain the new standards and assessments. And we've also shared the Colorado Growth Model and the school performance frameworks with countless parent and accountability groups. Not an easy task. And throughout the process, we've established a great deal of trust and credibility with our teachers, administrators, and parents. And LPS staff and community are truly committed to providing our students with the knowledge and skills they need to be successful in college or the workforce. And we do, we as central administration, do two formal site visits every year to our schools to see how they're implementing their their Unified Improvement Plan. And just last week, we were in one of our elementary schools and saw first graders implementing a Socratic seminar. Now, I taught high school kids for 26 years and could never get a Socratic seminar to go as smoothly as those first graders did. So we are seeing the benefits of our new standards and of our professional, our five-year plan, and we're very proud of that. So thank you again for the opportunity to share our work with you today.
Thank you. Any questions, Board? Thank you.
Madam Chair, State yes. Board. Commissioner Hammond, thank you for allowing me the time to explain my perspective in Northeast Colorado on the implications for your decision making. I'm here today to talk about the implications for your decisions around the Colorado academic standards. I'm not here to endorse PARC or the PARC assessments. In fact, the Otis Board of Education has symbolically passed a resolution for a waiver from PARC and CMAS. The sample curriculum project and content specialists are the best examples of support from CDE that I've experienced in my 12 years as an administrator. This work has become has been extremely helpful for the Otis School District, and I can speak for most of our districts in Northeast Colorado, as I was the former curriculum and assessment coordinator at our, through our Northeast BOCES. We have relied on the work through the department to implement curriculum changes after the adoption of the Colorado Academic Standards. Small school districts do not have the resources to implement curriculum changes after the, We have relied on the work of the department to implement curriculum changes after the adoption of the Colorado Academic Standards. Small districts do not have the personnel with specific expertise to rewrite curriculum. My district has been working with 10 other districts to implement the new curriculum and standards, so this work is positively impacting our students in Northeast Colorado. Our district, my district, would never have the resources to be able to do things like happen in Littleton and other areas. So we really rely on what the department provides for us and are appreciative of the sample curriculum work and the standards that are embedded in them. The amount of resources, teacher time, administrative time, training, travel, resources like textbook materials that have already been purchased, and then working collaboratively with around those to implement the standards is absolutely intractable. I wish I had time to share with you a large project that we've embarked on in Northeast Colorado with those 10 districts, creating PLCs, putting teachers together. Seven times a year, the training, the collaboration, then we come back to our districts, we implement, and that's happening in most of our districts. We have done as we were asked. We're implementing the Colorado Academic Standards. I certainly cannot ask my exhausted teachers and principal to start over. The negative impact on their morale would be tremendous. We base everything we do on what is best for our kids. There is nothing within the Colorado Academic Standards that I don't want my own son to know and be able to do. In fact, I believe this gives especially our rural kids an opportunity to have equivalent access to a curriculum. I feel like it levels the playing field. We can compare our students to students and feel confident. In fact, we helped our teachers to understand that we can feel confident that our kids have equal access to opportunities that others do, and not even in Colorado, but beyond in other states. So I am asking you to honor our work, to consider the teachers back at home working right now today, implementing the standards as you make your decisions. I need to ask my principal to continue the work that we've already done. In fact, this morning in Otis School District, a book study is happening around, it's called Core 6, and they are fully embracing the strategies embedded there. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you.
Thank you. I've forgotten, which district are you from?
I'm at Otis School District. I'm the superintendent.
Okay.
Northeast Colorado.
Gotcha. Any other comments, or should we just go on, and then we can ask questions when we finish? Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Board, and Commissioner, for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Wendy Wyman. I'm the superintendent from Lake County School District, which is located in Leadville. Lake County School District is a rural mountain district with just under 1,000 students. Our free and reduced lunch rate is around 73%, and about 33% of our students are learning English as a second language. We're pleased to say that our 2014 district accreditation rating moved up from priority improvement to improvement. This means that as a district, we have moved off of the five-year accountability clock. While we still have work to do, this movement in accreditation rating indicates that our efforts are working. A key piece of our improvement plan has been a focus on writing and implementing a curriculum aligned to the Colorado standards that ensures that all students have access to rigorous learning opportunities. Significant time, human capital, and financial resources have been committed to this important work. We are fully invested in our curriculum work as we believe it is producing better outcomes for our students every day. This commitment has led to true momentum across our district. Our teachers have been diligently working on writing and developing district curriculum for the past 2 years. One example is that last year, during the school year, We had teams of teachers, including content area teachers in the field of math, science, and language arts, as well as teachers who teach special education and English as a second language, work with content area experts to write curriculum. In these three-day sessions, our teachers learned about key features of high-quality curriculum and how to write strong curriculum. They also had the honor of writing curriculum that is being used by some of their colleagues across the state. A second example is that this past summer, we engaged even more teachers in the work. 26 of our 7th through 12th grade teachers came in for four-day sessions of assessment writing and curriculum build-out. These 26 teachers represent 76% of our high school staff. And these teachers were once again accompanied by content area experts from CDE. Our teachers have continued to use our weekly professional development time to build out the writing and work on curriculum. Working alongside CDE staff, they've become very capable themselves at providing students with aligned and rigorous curriculum. Most importantly, our students are benefiting. As a result of this work, teachers are setting higher expectations for students. Teachers have clear roadmaps that support focused efforts to support student learning in the classroom. Teachers have also gained more knowledge on how to differentiate the curriculum to ensure that all students have access to high-level work. Our focused work on curriculum is paying off for our students by setting higher expectations for their learning. This work has created a new level of professionalism and a renewed sense of investment for our teachers and our administrators. Our curriculum work is key to our reform efforts in Lake County School District. Thank you.
And I have to ask, since I was able to attend your groundbreaking for your new best school, is that part of the reason you moved up a point?
I think it's definitely helping.
It was a wonderful occasion. Yes. I really enjoyed it. Anyway.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes. Where are we going now? Jill, you ready for questions? Or?
Yes.
All right, Board. Have any questions for anybody? Yes, Deb.
Are we asking
anyone?
Questions? So my question is, you like the standards, you're implementing them, you think they're working, that's great. Is it possible for there to be options for districts to adopt and implement the Common Core standards and the portion of them that is specific to Colorado voluntarily? And other districts that want to exceed those standards, in other words, can the state board create a corpus of standards that are, when we first wrote the new standards in 2009, they were supposed to be shorter, more rigorous, and all this. They really didn't end up being shorter. They ended up being more voluminous. And so could the state board, you know, legally, I guess is the question, create a set of standards that were far less voluminous and yet allow districts who want to continue to embrace these Common Core standards as they're currently written, let them do that?
Who's your question for?
Not all the districts do, and we've heard all from folks that like them, but there are lots of people that don't. Parents, districts, teachers, principals, right? I mean, so there's lots of voices that we didn't hear this afternoon. And so what are the options, again, that we could provide for those districts, parents, students, whatever, that feel mm-hmm. that the standards are not fulfilling what they need?
Jill or Keith? Jill?
Madam Chair. So the statute does ask the state board to adopt standards, and it does list the content areas. In terms of the flexibility for districts, one of the local board responsibilities is to adopt standards that meet or exceed the state's. So districts have that flexibility now in statute to build on, to go above, beyond the state.
So
the state standards.
So really what we're considering is whether or not this set of standards is mandatory from the state. I mean, the districts can continue to embrace these standards, and if they're not, quote, Common Core standards, then they're not copyrighted. In other words, you can change them and adjust them for rural versus urban or whatever. But to the extent that they're mandated at the state level, they're the Common Core standards as part of our larger set of standards. They're copyrighted. They can't be changed. And it strikes me that the state board could adopt standards that still allow districts to implement these standards if they wish.
But would they? I guess it's just a question. Would they?
It just creates more options for districts. Yeah. Like I said, we have voices here that like the standards, feel they're helping and serving their students well. Not everyone feels that.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Commissioner.
The issue you run into, correct me if I'm wrong. Okay.
followed through and did that. The question then runs against the assessment system.
Correct.
Okay.
They're very inextricably
right.
woven together.
And so if the district were to generally go to something different, then probably in some of these small districts, they wouldn't have the ability to use the assessment system to match that. And given the current requirements of law regarding having a standard assessment system that is for all kids in specific grades, it also missed the federal requirements. I can see that could be problematic.
But if we could reduce to federal minimums and really look closely at our options for assessment, it also would, I think, create fewer mandates and more a core of commonality as opposed to the more pervasive commonality that we've created with Common Core and with PARC.
That's
so, right.
Yes.
And certainly that's what the legislation is being talked about right now. It's going down to
right. May I ask a question?
Sure.
Chair? Also, does this mean that
we can
have the standards that are there and our standards, Colorado standards, and at the same time not have PARC? There are many other companies that are working on their own testing, and could it be divided so that we could say yay to the standards, no to PARC?
Well, can I answer and then
sure.
Jillian, because you weren't here, but they were not ever together. We adopted standards. Everybody, and you, I think, mentioned the fact that this was not an endorsement of PARC. The standards are one question. PARC's a separate one and should be.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, yes, the law does require the State Board to adopt a system of aligned standards and assessments. So in the first request that the State Board made to the legislature was to develop its own set of assessments aligned to the Colorado academic standards. Those were not approved by the Joint Budget Committee and the legislature at that time. And at that time, that is when the legislation that Tony Dill referenced directed the State Board to join as a governing member of PARC. And so that is when the state became a member of PARC to assess the English language arts and math standards.
That was back in
2012.
Yeah, 2012. We remember that well. Chief?
The governance of PARC. There is a governing board. Who are the individual members of that governing board? Are they by position, or could Colorado designate anyone it chose?
Mr. Commissioner?
Sure. Of the 12 states that are there, okay, I'm a governing member, and Joyce is on the technical advisory board. And then we have, throughout the process, they do multiple teachers throughout the state, of each state, participate.
That wasn't the question I asked. The question was the member of that board, could it be someone else in a different position?
At that time?
No, could we change? Could we have someone else as our representative of the PARC board?
Go ahead.
Certainly check that. I believe it calls for the governing, the respective chief to be just the chief and then the head of the assessment. But for sure it has the chief of the state. Chief state school, actually.
And the agenda items that you all consider as a member of that governing board, are we given any information and updates about what's on the agenda, what kind of policy decisions are being made by that governing board, so that we might have some insight into what direction it's going and what policy decision it's making?
We give you periodic updates, but if you would like regular updates, we can certainly send you. They tend to inundate us with paper, but that's not a problem.
Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. I've noticed we get inundated by paper on a lot of issues.
You want more paper, right?
Yeah, I'm sure really short of paper. So we could get a regular updates on how often do you meet?
The governing committee meets every month by phone, and then every quarter in person.
Jane?
Just mentioning that a lot of I haven't looked specifically for that particular update from the governing board meetings lately. The park website has abounding. Yeah, lots of Q&As, lots of tips, lots of toolboxes, lots of stories from the field, lots of. So it's possible that we could probably get on a more regular thinking about repeating website addresses and just making sure people are aware of where they can go to get some information.
Steve? Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that's all well and good, but I really am concerned about the use of public funds for self-aggrandizement and self-promotion that could and likely does occur on the park on the part of park, because they certainly have their critics, but I suspect you don't see any of that on their website.
I would have to.
I to be very realistic and very straightforward and quite transparent, based on
and I would
what I trust them to
speak
know.
Before the commissioner gets a chance. Having the commissioner as a member of that governing board is a big plus in our point, because he's there. He can the 4-page letter you got from Arne Duncan, you know, that told you all the bad things that they can do. Robert insisted that he write that. You know, so there are many advantages to having someone, particularly since they have to be, you know, if you were to remove Robert, you'd have a commissioner from another state. I think the advantages outweigh the disadvantages. That's just my opinion. Robert, you had a comment?
Let me check out the website. You see if it includes all the minutes and everything. That might be easier than inundating paper, I don't care, whatever you want. Well, we can check on that.
And I don't know that it has that.
Has all that. But we can work out something, make sure you get regular updates. And I have to point out one thing. I'm not in it for a self-aggrandizement.
Yes. I would add to that.
Aggrandizement.
Wasn't you personally, it's the organization that engages in self-aggrandizement.
Okay, I just had to point that out.
Good point. Val?
I'm just wondering, you brought up an interesting point, or somebody did, about copyright. And I'm concerned about all this material that districts are producing and creating. And my question is it like in the universities, where a person may do their work on their own time? I know you're employed by the university. And even work that is before, but yet once you go online, that online company takes your work. Would this happen to the districts where Common Core would then take the material and say, well, you know, it's under our auspices, they are our standards, and you've developed this, but you know, we gave you the idea because we wrote the standards. What about copyright laws for districts?
Let me ask, see if this has to. When it comes to the Common Core, the other standard, you got your standards. Districts write the curriculum. Okay, the match. I mean, it's up to each district. Okay, and they have their standards. In fact, the group that she's talking about meet with several other districts, so they share all this stuff among themselves to help each other on
right.
the curriculum. When it comes to PARC, that's one of the things that's
Common Core. Does Common Core then take that that material.
No. I think her question is...
There isn't an organization that would...
Who owns the intellectual property for the curricula that districts develop based on Common Core?
That's right. That's my question. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, I'll let the districts respond, but it's the district's property.
Yeah.
And if they have anything they'd like to add.
No?
No. The only thing I was going to say, Madam Chair, and this has been an important thing for me, as anything developed that we're a part of, the park, is I have access to the intellectual property rights, that we have the intellectual property rights.
Okay. To park. But
yeah, well, to what's created by park, because being a governing state, you know, we have access to those items. And so that was very important that we make sure that we have full control of the intellectual property rights.
Deb?
Well, I would say access and influence over are two very different things. So it's good that we have access. Obviously, we should. They're supposedly the standards that we've adopted on which we're holding our teachers and students accountable. But it's another issue of who's influencing the items on the assessment, who's defining how those items are scored. I think sometimes we forget that there are norm reference and criterion reference tests, and PARC mm-hmm. is a criterion reference test, so that everyone can pass it or everyone can fail it based on how the criterion are interpreted and who writes the rubrics and scores the items based on the rubric. Very different than a norm reference test where kids are ranked and understand where they stand in a group of 100 kids, for example. So therefore, having access is good, but it's having influence over how those items are derived, how they're scored, what the cut points are, how the data is used, the privacy issues around the data points. Those are the issues that people are concerned about. So I think mm-hmm. that's why this discussion is so relevant, because can we free up districts in terms of the assessment piece and the standards piece to create a core corpus of knowledge that students should be addressed in our schools without having to adopt the Common Core standards? And to what extent does it give more flexibility for schools to exceed those standards? I guess that's why this discussion is important.
Any comment, Joe? Any other questions? Comments? I am delighted that we made this separation today, which I think a lot of people don't understand, and that's the separation between the standards and PARC. The standards, and I can attest to this because I was a teacher when they started the No Child Left Behind standards, step one, and then I was a local board member when they started step two, and then I was on the state board when we actually adopted those standards. And I've seen a lot of great results. As you mentioned, Jane and I went to a conference in Durango, remember? Mm-hmm. And had a lot of schools there. And I remember this one teacher talking about, she had second graders writing stories about weather phenomena and using words like cyclones. And it was kind of second grade handwriting, but it was, you know, usually they're writing about my favorite pet or something. We've seen some great results, and the standards in general were great. My problem, I know that's not for everybody, but my problem came when we adopted PARC. And we're required to adopt PARC by legislation. I have several times mentioned to no avail that in Utah, they did their own standards, or their own assessments. They have three 90-minute assessments and a writing prompt. Now, I've talked to them. I don't know if they've had results yet, but as far as I'm concerned, that's where we went astray, and that was legislation. That wasn't anything that we decided. And at the time, though, I don't think there was a lot of pushback to it because we didn't realize how big and overwhelming it was. I think there's a real feeling out there that we need to get out of PARC. And I don't, you know, we don't have control of the legislature, or we would be out of PARC. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm really glad that this has been real clear. You've done some great work with writing the standards. Colorado wrote their own standards. There's people who would love to believe that somebody just sent them to us and we adopted them. Colorado wrote their own. I was involved. Another thing, though, I would mention is that there have been three or four states that have withdrawn from Common Core. and, quote, quote, written their own standards. And when they hand them out to the people, they would go, wait a minute. These are you didn't write new standards. These are the old standards in general, you know. Standards are standards. It's the curriculum that gets us in trouble. And so I'm just delighted that we kind of broke that down. I don't know where it's going to go from there. If anybody had come up with a way to get out of park, I'd be right there with them. But any other comments?
No.
I got carried away. Jane's laughing at me.
No, I never laugh.
Oh, well, I try to wait till last, but go ahead.
With you, Marshall, with you. I agree totally. Real quickly, two other states for sure. A lot of you may be familiar more with those two state stories, Oklahoma and Indiana.
Oklahoma and Indiana.
It is, it's been interesting to follow the metamorphosis and back again of some thinking and some of the results that come out with. Indiana right now is back in round 2B of assessment issue again. So, and I don't mean to, this is not a funny matter. It's just, it does become interesting. Life is ironic and interesting sometimes. But where they are right now with their assessment dilemma is too long.
Too big.
Versus, does it cover the right thing? We're back in brand new standards again. Actually, the third set, Oklahoma shares that as well. The third set in a very short amount of time, and just all the human being things that happen when you're in big flux like that. But so, who knows where Indiana's assessment life will end up? They're getting real close to the crunch timeline, like everybody is. Oklahoma, they literally did have I call it a textbook story case of a lot of upheaval, a lot of work done to come up with what they were, you know, feel is their right to develop their own set of standards, and they were presented to the citizens and the legislature and the crowds of people that helped them do this in a short time under big pressure. And the general 98% of the comments were, these are the same. Is this what we're really saying? This is with very few minute specific detail exceptions, the same set of standards as had been presented through their Common Core version, which is it's the state's standards. So the Common Core part was math and language arts. But Marsha's right. The things that we've been able to see, not nearly, and no, we don't get enough time to get out and about, but to see what's happening across the state and all the various districts, the amount of, I have heard nothing but positive comments from teachers, classroom teachers especially, and administrators around the potential and just the value of getting together and talking through this as professionals. That is the major benefit people are seeing. That doesn't mean to say that it's perfect. I don't think that was ever assumed to become the case or to be the case. And I guess I would ask as a technical question, then I'll stop. The review expectation. So currently the statute says 6 years, so we would need to have our review, but that's all 10 content areas, correct? We're on the
Madam
same
Chair.
Kind of traditional path we mm-hmm. always were with an every 5-6 year review cycle. So by 2018, the expectation is that all 10 of our content areas would have been reviewed again for adjustments, which makes that's the mm-hmm. updating part of our life. There is legislation they're going to be proposed around that cycle and how we work the review cycle in general. There are some other things in the works around how do we the whole area of understanding. How does measurement of learning goals, how does assessment of the standards play into, and what are the best tools and what's the best way to go about it? So our decision right now, I think we're all stressed because we are all under some time crunches. And it's very hard, especially now. We're, what, 3 weeks away from da-da day? And the first chance, the first crack at finding out how this is working and how all the good work in districts is going to be, what is it going to look like? You know, it's hard. We haven't found that out yet, according to this particular way of doing it. But I just wanted to tell you, I'm talking way too much today, and I'm so sorry, but how much I appreciate all the good work that's been going on in all of your districts and everybody that was here earlier today as well on other topics. And, you know, hang in there.
Pam?
To bounce off Jane again. We're bouncing off each other here. About the quality of the standards, I just want to make a statement that for me, it does not matter if these standards are perfect. There probably is no such thing as a perfect
standard. The standards are what?
I don't care if the standards are perfect.
Okay.
I'm opposed to them because they invite federal intrusion. And as we all know, standards drive curriculum. It invites federal intrusion in curriculum. And that's just a road I am not willing to go down. So it's not about the quality of the standards or the lesson plans. I just want to make it clear. It's not about that. It's about federal intrusion and local control.
And I appreciate that. And that's kind of what I was, you know, the standards were fine until the federal intrusion came in Harmon Park because they were really local, you know. But it does invite, you're right, that, you know. So here they came.
It might be fine today, but in a few years they might not be so fine.
That was always my argument, was that they looked at it and said, oh, what a good idea, let's jump on board. And they kind of jumped on board and took it over. You're right. Thank you very, very much. Appreciated it all, your work, and listening to you all. And Tony, you give us some big answers there, right? work it out for us. Thanks a lot. Oh, were we going to ask you? Did I miss that up here? On my script, it says we had some members of the public. Are we going to ask for that? Robert? Jane? Carrie?
Wow.
My script says we're going to ask for some members of the public. Should we do that? Okay. Yes, we're going to have some public comment here.
all those barriers that we have, I recognize.
Thank you.
The situation.
Well, guess what? Anita Stapleton is here to say something.
Right.
As per usual, I don't have the script, but you know it's the three-minute time limit. Thank you.
Good morning. I am Anita Stapleton from Pueblo, Colorado. I'm a grassroots activist with a student still in public school. He is a junior, and I want so much to say he will finish there, but I can't do that today. I fight daily to improve the core of education, public schools. I am here to clearly state that the only way to accomplish this is a full repeal of PARC, first and foremost, and to strip the Colorado academic standards from Common Core. This bit can be accomplished through House Bill 1208, the repeal of Common Core education standards in PARC. Representative Klingenschmidt's bill is simple and does not leave Colorado without a solution. It takes us back to the original Colorado academic standards approved by this board in December 2009. The CDE has put forth great effort in following me around the state, bragging on the very work in these 10 content areas. So tell me, why does the state have to reinvent the wheel? And at such a high fiscal note, Colorado already did this work with the collaboration of teachers, students, parents, serving on the subcommittees. The CDE's PowerPoints demonstrate the rigor and benchmarking of the original Colorado academic standards that Colorado never did implement. Those original Colorado academic standards were embedded with Common Core before we ever could try them. Math and ELA and science through the back door is now embedded with Common Core. What is the benefit of pulling out? Releasing the federal noose.
We all know Common Core is copyrighted. We can't change a thing. We can't improve anything, and I am putting my trust in the experts, Dr. Stotsky and Dr. Milgram, that clearly state the flaws in the math in the ELA. Colorado is to be addressing these standards anyway. You just said it yourselves. As for PARC, this must be repealed without compromise. House Bill 15-1208 does this as well. However, House Bill 15-1125, the flexibility bill, does not do this. It keeps PARC in the state as an option. This board endorsed this bill, and I have to ask why. This bill legislatively regulates the state board and the local districts without room to be autonomous. This is exactly what the legislators did bringing us Common Core, all of its mandates, whether it is state government or federal government. Overreach is overreach. Now, a few facts on repealing PARC. I have the PARC MOU right here. You all should have it. You should have studied it. Every district member should have studied it. It clearly states there needs to be 15 states, which at least 5 states be a governing state. We're down to 8. That's debatable according to PARC. They still list 12 states in the consortium. Mississippi has pulled out. That brings us down to 8. The MOU states that the project manager include, and this is a quote, this is especially why Colorado needs to get out, that it includes costs that are reasonable in relation to the objectives, design, and significance of the proposed project and the number of students to be served. And for each member state, the estimated cost for the ongoing administration, maintenance, and enhancement of operational assessments in the proposed assessment program and a plan for how the state will fund the assessment program over time, including by allocating to the assessment program funds for existing state or local assessments that will be replaced by the assessments in the program. And if you don't think that PARC does not direct curriculum, you need to read the MOU. It is completely spelled out in the MOU that the curriculum is the end-all goal. I sat at Littleton's public board meeting for Littleton Public Schools and watched them unanimously vote to institute Agile Minds in all their high schools across the board for math. They had a room of teachers opposing it. There was no collaboration. It's dictated by the test.
Thank you.
This is the only comment we had at this time, so we will move ahead. Where are we?
Go ahead. You're first.
You're making a point.
No, I'm asking. I'm making a request. I'm still on Common Core. So it's been suggested to me that we request from Ms. Markle a West Ed study that showed the alignment between the Colorado our adopted standards. Thank you. That's the right word. Would you be kind?
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
So I was not in the loop on that. What did you say? We requested from West Ed a crosswalk between current Common Core and previous state standards?
No. When we adopted the Common Core, they actually did a crosswalk for us. The changes were minimal, but I think it'd be helpful for all of us. Because there are so few of us.
To see that report, you mean?
Uh-huh.
So not to commission another report.
No. Just a reminder, for example, if we were to get out of Common Core and go back to the standards that we adopted, what's the difference?
Right now.
Thank you.
We already have that document, right?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I have another request for our attorney.
See, Tony? You better run away, Tony. Go ahead.
He wants to be fully employed.
Sticks around.
I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, well, I'm doing my best for you. You just heard some allegations that the PARC MOU, that PARC, they're out of compliance in terms of numbers of states and governing board members and that sort of thing, and there may be other areas, so... could you go through that, and if there are any non-compliances that you can discover, let us know whether those rise to the level of sufficiency to allow us to terminate our relationship with PARC. Because if, in fact, it requires 15 states, and they're whatever the number was, and they're not 15, then I don't know whether that's a material breach but it certainly would appear to constitute a breach of some nature. And we have as much right to act on a breach of contract, certainly, as they do.
I can certainly review the park MOU and the documents and see where that leaves us.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony.
Oh, well, thank you. How nice.
Well, this kind of sneaked up. Are we ready to move on? It kind of sneaked up on me. This is my part. You might notice, if you listen to the discussion, any discussion today or any discussions any other days, that lack of a certain subject, and that's the subject of social studies. Nobody talks about doing social studies. It's always lacking. You probably are aware that I have done a lot of work with the Social Studies Committee, that an ad hoc committee came out of nowhere, mainly in response to the 1202 Commission, and is composed of a lot of really great people, the Denver Metro Chamber, the Colorado Economic Council, the History Colorado, all of these people, and Rob.
I know.
Yeah, he's spoken to us several times. So this has been a matter of concern for me for a long time. I didn't realize it. I'm a history teacher, in case you didn't know that, a history teacher. But how much it had diminished, and it's a result of unintended consequences. Nobody ever said, don't teach social studies. But when they made the decision way back with CSAP, that they wouldn't test social studies, a lot of districts read that message, and they began not to do away with it, but to decrease it, and it just decreased. I got the basic of my American history out of elementary school. I learned all the things about the Pilgrims and Francis Scott Key and all of those things. I learned that in elementary, and then when I went back and was doing, you know, high school, it fit all in. And by the way, unintended consequences has begun to resonate with me a lot, not just there. But, you know, when you set out to do a reform, you may do a great reform and everything is good, but the way people take it in this case, they said, oh, social studies isn't important. We're not going to test it. So they began to do less and less with social studies. I ran across a great little video the other day that talked about the fact that when CSAP said that by 2015 or something, all students would be 100% proficient in reading and writing, and this man said, reading and math. So that's, you know, that's where all, number one, they're not, of course, they're not proficient. But number two, it's cut back on all of them. And so another piece I found talked about the fact that reading social, I don't get this disconnect. If you're reading a history book, you're learning to read, and when you write about it, you're learning to write. You know, the idea that, oh, we can't teach history, we're too busy teaching this over here. And it's resulted, I think, in a great dearth of social studies in all the areas. I'm a history teacher, but economics, geography, civics, government, all of those areas are not covered very well, and we need to do a better job of that. I've become fairly passionate about it. And as a result of that, have a resolution that I would like us to adopt. Now, how we're going to, and Robert and Jill and I had a conversation with all these, the Social Studies Committee, a phone conversation the other day. Great conversation. They got together basically for the 1202 Commission. They wanted social studies included in the 1202 Commission. Well, as time has gone by, they've become pretty aware that that's not going to happen, and mainly because Park is so big, you know, we hardly have time to do it. We surely don't have time to do social studies. Two or three, they met with Owen Hill, they met with a couple of other, and they had good meetings with him. And the funny thing was the legislators basically told him it's probably not going to be in 1202. But they agreed with them. We need to do a better job of it. We need to get back into it. So how else can we do that? And I don't have that answer. We had some kind of, Jill had a couple of interesting motions the other day, and we were just talking about developing a social studies test that local schools would do, or putting something in the high school graduation requirements for high school and doing something for elementary and middle school. But it's become very apparent that if you don't test it, you don't teach it. So this is the resolution. The State Board of Education adopts the following resolution to be sent to members of the appropriate committees of the Colorado General Assembly and to all school districts. Parents have the right to direct their children's education, including decisions regarding test and data. Whoops, wrong one. How about that? I'm going, where is this going? All right. Better one.
Right.
Got the right resolution. Whereas the social studies are rich, interrelated disciplines, each critical to the background of thoughtful citizens, knowledge of the social, political, and economic conditions of one's country and the world, and the knowledge of one's rights and duties as an individual in society, help cultivate competent, informed, responsible citizens. The study of each of the social studies disciplines, history, civics, geography, and economics, is essential to understanding the complexity of the world. It provides the context and understanding of how humans interact with each other and with the environment over time. It offers the crucial knowledge needed to create a framework for understanding the systems of society. Whereas the study of history prepares students for ever-changing future, helping them analyze and connect today's events in Colorado, the United States, and the world to the past. Historical understanding allows students to gain perspective and develop better judgments by discovering and uncovering the complexity of human beings. History provides examples of ethical behavior and the context for change and illustrates the importance of responsible members of society in both the United States and our world. Whereas the study of geography develops understanding of spatial perspective and technologies for spatial analysis, raising students' awareness of the interdependence of the world's regions and resources, geographical understanding allows students to determine what and how places are connected at the local, national, and global levels. Geography highlights the complexity and interrelationship of people, places, and environments. Whereas the study of civics is a foundational component to the continued success of our democratic society and securing the vision of a free society articulated by the founding fathers in the United States Constitution, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, and other seminal documents. Civics understanding develops students' awareness of their individual values, beliefs, as well as options for effectively acting on those beliefs and values. Civics teaches students the complexity of the origin, structure, and functions of government, the importance of law, and the skills necessary to participate in all levels of government. Whereas the study of economics emphasizes personal financial responsibility through goal setting, long and short-term planning, and rational decision-making, economic understanding helps students consider the connections between standards of living and entrepreneurship, globalization, and different economic systems. Economics centers on developing informed consumers, savers, and investors, members of a society who understand how our market economy functions in individual lives. Whereas the preparation of students for the 21st century cannot be accomplished without a strong and sustaining emphasis on the social studies, the social studies provides cornerstone skills that are the key to successful and responsible participation in a diverse, competitive, and global society. Whereas in the social studies, students use critical thinking, self-assessment, reasoning, problem-solving, collaboration, research, and investigation skills to make connections in new and innovative ways. Whereas the opportunity to learn the important social skills, concepts, and skills is essential for Colorado students in all grade levels across students' educational experience. Be it resolved that This Colorado State Board of Education is committed to the teaching of social studies in all Colorado schools in every grade to ensure Colorado students are prepared and productive citizens of the state, the nation, and the world. Do I have a motion?
May we discuss it?
Oh, you want to discuss it?
Yes.
Okay, any discussion?
Go ahead, Steve.
No, I just moved it.
No, he's
so available for discussion.
Second.
Okay, move and second. Any discussion?
So I think on the face of it, it's great. Who wrote it? I mean, it strikes me as language from the National Council for Social Studies, or where was the language
well,
inserted?
Well, Carrie and I, we kind of put it together.
Probably pulled it from maybe NCSS,
yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I was just reminding myself that Common Core standards for English language arts actually provide literacy standards for history. And we always say Common Core is only ELA in math, but actually within the Common Core there are suggestions for standards of what students should be reading in the context of history, actually. So when we think about this resolution and the language that's delineated in each of these areas, I think we should think about where the language came from and what implication it has, as contrasted with the literacy standards for history that are part of the Common Core.
Well, it's fairly standard language. I mean, everything I read, I could, you know, raise my hand and say I agree with that. I don't know where else you'd get it from, really. I mean, unless you want to sit down and write something original.
That's one of the issues that I had with PARC. I thought it should deal with literature and it should deal with history and civics and
it's fairly extensive, so that's what I'm just saying. This resolution versus what's situated implicitly in Common Core. I don't think we've thought through that and how this language is either consistent or inconsistent.
But Common Core doesn't contain any history standards.
That's what I'm saying. It actually does.
And that's what we're saying is not necessarily Common Core, but that the schools are not teaching it because it wasn't in Common Core.
I guess I would just take issue. Maybe it's a discussion point. I don't know that it's true that because something's not tested, it's not taught. So that's one implicit issue. And then the other question I wonder if we need to think about is, be it resolved, are we saying in every grade, all Colorado schools, in every grade, to ensure students are prepared and so forth? I mean, does that change what we're doing now? I mean, what are we actually saying there?
I just think it's...
And by social studies, I guess we mean all these areas? I mean,
I don't see it there. That these should be taught. It doesn't mean that there's a requirement that you teach each one of the four in every grade. We're just saying, what I'm just saying, and maybe I didn't do a good job, is it should be integrated into your studies. You should not be reading a book because it's got reading in it, but maybe you choose a social studies book. I'm leaving it up to local control. I'm not saying you got to do. And besides that, it's only a resolution. It's not a rule.
Right. And then is there any desire to put the word history in the resolution instead of social studies? When you look at the history of the use of the word social studies, it implies or really is defined by...
Well, part of this committee...
Sociology, political science, history, economics, religious studies, geography,
and
psychology...
I tend to agree with you, Deb, but that's because I'm a history teacher.
Right.
But these people that were on this committee are all, you know, economics people and geography people, and it is all social studies. So, particularly because it's a resolution, it doesn't mean that you've got to teach all four. You know, it's just a resolution. Mm-hmm. Letting school districts know that we think this is important and that we trust them to teach it in the way that they would want to teach it. That's maybe I didn't, you know, get that across very well, but that's what I mean. I'm not setting down any rules. You got to do this, you got to do that. I'm just asking us all to tell school districts that we think this is important and we have faith that they'll do it. You know, that they will implement it. And you know, I don't, as I said, nobody ever said, no, we're not going to teach it. There's nobody out there going, no, don't you? They maybe didn't realize, I'm sure they didn't, how much they had disengaged from it. Mm-hmm. So this would just encourage them to reengage.
Working in a hard-to-serve school, I know that that was an area that was excluded.
But if you ever listen to those...
It's a favorite area of my history.
Yeah, well, good, good. So, if you ever listen to those little, you know, people that go out on the street and ask people who's the first president of the United States and they don't know, or where's Brazil, or anyway. We have a resolution. Oh, Pam? Oh,
I was going to ask you what you're hoping to say here. Do you really... You're trying to encourage, right?
That's exactly.
So what if we change that language to say the State Board of Education encourages and supports the teaching? Does that just make more sense? Is it saying we're committed?
Well, not.
What do you think?
Because we're committed to the teaching of it in all Colorado schools. That doesn't mean we're going to be out there looking at all Colorado schools to make, you know. We're just, that they would use it however they saw fit. We're just encouraging them it because they haven't been paying attention to them particularly. That's what I'm thinking. I'm not going to go out and say, you're not teaching social studies. You know, I think it's a real, I think many states have done it. I've heard it from other people. I just think it's a real problem that, and the video I was talking about, he said, you know, when they said all students will be in math and English, then all of the other subjects went down. And he included science, too. Now, I think we tend to do a better job in science than we do in social studies because a lot of people are headed for science professions. Yes.
So I guess my only comment is I have no concern with the resolution, and I believe that it confirms our Colorado standards, which we have social studies standards every year for certain standards that we want students to meet. And this addresses that. And I think the word confirm, did you say the word was confirm? I think that's actually what we are doing here. Mm-hmm.
Just confirming that we think it's important. I would appreciate your support. We have a motion and a second. Any disagreement?
Who made the motion?
What?
Oh,
Stephen.
I second.
Did it.
I already seconded.
Any problem?
Oh, you seconded. Third.
What is it I want to say? Any questions? Anybody against it? Motion carries?
If it's unanimous, motion carries. Resolution is adopted.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
May I point out to Mr. Durham that from our legislative liaison, he says, in regards to your discussion this morning, you'll get a check.
It's like we'll have some trophies to send out.
So we can get some more, we'll have better.
You will have
you can get some more money.
Yeah, keep it going.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of 3 foot high.
Let's make a change.
See what we can afford.
We're doing pretty very well. Since we omitted something, we have. Do you need a break, or no, or go ahead to the CMAS? Yeah, we better do that. All right, number 503, overview of the process for setting cut scores for CMAS, science, and social studies. Just in time. Hey, Joyce. Mr. Commissioner.
I don't know if you want to take a short break or not. This is scheduled for 60 or 90 minutes.
Yes, we do.
Okay, short break. Take a 5-minute break.